We have a really great show. And like I said, I just came back from Scotland. And, you know, whenever you go abroad, you usually come back with a kind of a different view of your own country. And in a lot of ways, I did. But in some really critical ways, I didn't. And to be honest, I'm not sure that it's all necessarily good news. Because what seems to be universal, I mean, I was over in the UK. What seems to be universal, certainly in the West, and quite possibly throughout the entire world, is fear. I mean, I was in London during the riots, 3 miles from my hotel. This fear is palpable. I felt it when I was looking at my country from abroad. It's palpable. And when I was in the UK, I felt it everywhere I went. I saw it in the eyes of the people I met on the streets. I felt it as I walked down the sidewalks of Aberdeen and Edinburgh, and definitely, definitely on the streets of London. I talked to cab drivers in the UK who were just as pissed off about exactly the same things that we're pissed off about. I mean, it's like been scripted. I talked to this one Scottish cab driver who asked me what I did, and I told him about the radio show and the title of it and everything. And the next thing you know, well, we were talking politics, of course. And all of a sudden, you know, he starts cursing out the Scottish bankers and how they all got bailed out and then started passing out bonuses and taking vacations as soon as the checks cleared. And I told him, hey, man, that's what happened in our country, too. What is there, some kind of, like, Snidely Whiplash handbook these bankers are following? I mean, here I was in a Scottish cab 6,000 miles away from home and found out that the people there are getting screwed in exactly the same ways that we are getting screwed here. And who are they getting screwed by? The same people. So, my Scottish cab driver, he kind of kept spitting and cursing up a storm in this thick Scottish brogue, you know, and it made him seem powerful for a while. And I was thinking about, you know, how tough the Scots are and how the bankers messed with the wrong country this time until my friend kind of, he ran out of steam. And he started revealing something really true. And he started telling me about his daughter and about how the money he had saved for her college education had been lost. This was money that he had saved over the course of a lifetime of driving a cab to put his daughter through college. And he told me how it had been reduced to almost nothing in the market crash of 2008. And there was such sadness in it. And even though at some level he knew that it had been stolen and engineered in some way that he couldn't quite articulate, you know, he blamed himself for pulling the money out too soon, you know, before the market had a chance to recover. And so when I told him that the worst thing he could do would be to blame himself, you know, he just kind of smiled at me like, you know, he appreciated the caring. But there was something weak in it. You know, something once proud, now broken in that smile he flashed at me. And when he dropped me off, he looked out the window and of the cab, and he looked at me all kind of plaintively and said, "How much do they want from us?" And then I said, "As much as we'll let them take." And then he smiled at me and said, "Is this what you do on your radio show? Get people all worked up?" And then I said, "I try." And then he said, "Well, keep at it, laddie. Seems like you've got a talent for it." And he just kind of drove off, you know. But it was clear after that they're getting fleeced in Scotland, too. You know, with the same script by the same people. And in Ireland, and in Greece, and in England, and in France. Because the whole Western world is being taken over by the bankers. And woe be to us, woe be to us, if we don't do something about it right now. Because whether you believe in conspiracy theories or not, if you can't see that the bankers and their multinational corporate cousins are breaking the financial backbone of the world with full eyes wide open intent, then I say God bless you, because ignorance must truly be bliss. Because everywhere I look, I see a systematic effort to bring down the cherished institutions of this country and the whole dream of a free and prosperous people on this planet. And when I think about the avoidable damage caused by this absolutely ludicrous debt-ceiling, obstructionist nonsense, and when I was watching it from overseas and how absurd it seemed, I just knew that we were under a deliberate and systematic attack. I think we have to accept this now. You know, not look away because we are afraid, but turn around and face the beast. Know it for what it is and stand our ground. This is nothing new. Bankers have been trying to run the world since there have been banks. I mean, it's one thing to face the truth and to be afraid, but it's really another thing entirely to deny the truth because you don't think you have the courage to look at it. But we do have the courage to look at it. We must have the courage to look at it. And if we look at it together, we will beat it. Because we can't allow ourselves to be distracted by the fear that's being peddled right now, because the fear is the thing that will paralyze us. It will keep us hypnotized into believing that we don't have the power to change our world, that it's some, you know, economic mystery that's the technocrats can only solve for us, that only more powerful human beings than ourselves are in control, and that all we have to do is just hide like prey in a giant herd of trembling humans and hope that I don't get singled out. But like my Scottish cab driver friend, I bet he thought that way until he got singled out. And now there's a brokenness that set into his soul that I saw, and an injury to his pride, and a bite out of his optimism from which he will never recover. He asked me, how much do they want from us? And my answer was, as much as we would let them take, which is true, but it was really an evasive answer, because the real answer to the question of how much they want from us, it's really simple. All of it. That's how much they want from us. All of it. Because the ruling elite of this country live atop a very sick system where human identity and human worth is determined by things like power and wealth and acquisition. And it becomes an addiction for them. And maybe any one of us were there, we might get addicted too. But it fills all the gaping holes and all the rotted places within them. Endless money and endless power, like endless war, provide an open-ended sense of purpose and a feeling of unlimited worldly power. I can imagine myself getting addicted to that, because if there ever was enough of what doesn't satisfy, if their desire was in fact finite, then someday they would have to face themselves and their own brokenness, and just like the rest of us, battle the daily demons that live in their own hearts. But they would rather start wars for profit, gut a country, pollute a planet, than face the aching, solitary emptiness that is their lost humanity. And the real insanity is that they've managed to convince us of their madness, that they are in fact more powerful than we are. They've gotten us to believe that we are helpless in the face of their dominion, and they've done it by gutting our jobs and our manufacturing base, attacking our public employees, dismantling our unions, wanking our financial system at their pleasure, and selling us on the idea that the enemies of American freedom are out there somewhere, oceans away, hiding under some rock, wearing some turban in some anonymous desert, waiting to blow us up. Well, I say bull shizzle to all of that, because the enemies of American freedom are living right here in this country and in Scotland and in England. They are among us, and they have all the money, and they mean our financial system harm. And yes, it's scary. And yes, they seem invincible. But see, it is my belief that this is just a temporary condition, because ultimately it comes down to this. We live in an inherently moral universe, which means that you cannot act immorally for an indefinite period of time. We will triumph in the end, because that is where our humanity is an asset, because no amount of money can take that away from us or change the basic moral structure of the universe. The only thing that can assail our power now is fear. That's why it's being pushed so hard, because if we believe in it, if we take this fear into ourselves, we reduce our stature, diminish our grandeur, and accept that as limitless beings in an unlimited universe, that we are small and helpless and cut off from our source of our power. You see, and this power, this vast, untapped human potential that is waiting to break loose in the world, though largely invisible and less apparent than the worldly power being wielded at us right now, is the ultimate power. The power of justice, the power of imagination, the power of the individual who possesses the simple human quality of courage. Because courage is the answer to fear. We must find the courage to stare down this bought and paid for government, this rigged financial system, this broken two-party mockery of a once great democracy, to stare it down as one people, one political body, one en masse human potential movement that rises up at the very moment it would be defeated and say, I'm as mad as hell and I am not going to take this anymore. It's what I talk about on the show all the time, where we reach down into ourselves and formulate a creative response to the crisis of our world, and then thrust ourselves upon that crisis with all of our humanity, all of our creativity, all of our hope, and all of our belief in the possibility of a just world, and demand it without any equivocation, remembering that it is not their world. It does not belong to the super rich or the ultra powerful who let us play on it. It is our world, our country, our democracy, and we want it back now. I want to hear from you on this. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Mad as hell in America, we are back.